brothers and sisters, I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we continue a little bit reflecting on whether or not we really have given our lives to God. Or do we, as I so often use, straddle? Do we have one foot in one camp and one foot in God's camp? Where are we? Is it the world and God, or have we fully given ourselves over to God and His ways and allow His ways to influence and to shape how we relate to this world? This world will pass away. Heaven will not pass away. Hell will not pass away. What are we choosing? Every day in our lives we make choices, and they lead us in one direction or another. There's no choice of any consequence that is unimportant. On an important matter, if we're trying to decide what to wear, that's in a certain way inconsequential. But our choices for how we think and how we speak and how we act, what our goals are, the people we relate to, how we spend our time, all of those things lead us either to eternal life or eternal death. Nothing is significant. Nothing is unimportant, really. It either leads us toward God or it leads us away from God. Nothing's neutral. Not really. So today, we had a feast yesterday of a saint. Today, it's Saint Irenaeus. And there's a lot of readings, especially in the Office of Readings in the Liturgy of the Hours. There's a lot there of Saint Irenaeus. He was born near Smyrna in Asia Minor. He was an early missionary in the city of Lyon in Gaul, succeeding the martyred Pothinus as the second bishop of Lyon. He defended the church against the Gnostic heresies. The Gnostics envisioned a dualistic universe ruled by both a good spirit and an evil force responsible for the creation of matter. So they just have these impersonal spirits who created things and the world. Against this, Irenaeus proclaimed the Christian God, quote, who holds all things in being and gives being to all creatures. Through his thorough refutation of the Gnostic claims, Irenaeus emerges as the first great church theologian who created systematic theology. He died in the year 2002. This is Pope Benedict's assessment of him. He emerges as the first great church theologian. How clear is your life? I have to ask myself, how clear is mine? Do I have a goal that I am pursuing in Jesus Christ? Am I living out of that goal or not? Or is it just a goal I pay attention to on Sunday, or a goal that maybe, if good, I might pay attention to it once a year? Is that who I am? Or am I really a committed servant of Jesus Christ? And those who see me and talk to me find that out. I don't mean you're preaching all the time. I don't mean that. It's by your choices, by your attitude, by your manner, by your priorities. They indicate what is most important to you. Take a look at your own priorities. Do they reflect that you are a son of God or a daughter of God? Do they reflect that your most important goal is reaching eternal life? O God, who called the bishop Saint Irenaeus to confirm true doctrine and the peace of the church, grant, we pray, through his intercession, that being renewed in faith and charity, we may always be intent on fostering unity and concord. Do those right there in prayer, do they reflect the priorities of your life? You say, well, that's so unrealistic. No, actually it isn't. It's the world who, the world's values, that's what's unrealistic. It's the world will die. The world will pass away. But Jesus will not pass away, and those who follow him will not pass away. And that's honestly the truth. So what are your goals? What are your values? What are you spending your time, your energy, and maybe even your money on? Is it to pursue the call to holiness? Is it to care for those unfortunate, those in need? Where is your life? What's the orientation of your life? I really, really urge you, brothers and sisters, to pay attention to this, so that if and when difficult things happen on the face of the earth, you're not going to be shaken in your purpose and your goal. We need that today. We need men and women of integrity, of purity of heart, of solid commitment. First reading is from the prophet Amos, chapter 3, verses 1 to 8, and then chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Hear this, O children of Israel, that the Lord pronounces over you, over the whole family that I brought up from the land of Egypt. You alone, this is God speaking to Israel now, you alone have I favored more than all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your crimes. I've given you everything, and look what you've done with it. Would God say that to us? Do two walk together unless they have agreed? Does a lion roar in the forest when it has no prey? Does a young lion cry out from its den unless it has seized something? Is a bird brought to earth by a snare when there is no lure for it? Does the snare spring up from the ground without catching anything? If the trumpet sounds in a city, will the people not be frightened? If evil befalls a city, has not the Lord caused it? Indeed, the Lord God does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. The lion roars, who will not be afraid? The Lord God speaks, who will not prophesy? I brought upon you such upheaval as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. You were like a brand plucked from the fire, yet you returned not to me, says the Lord. How many times do we experience very, very difficult situations in life, but we don't allow them to bring us back to God? That's what happened here. You returned not to me. So now I will deal with you in my own way, O Israel. And since I will deal thus with you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Brothers and sisters, take this seriously. Psalm 5, lead me in your justice, Lord. Your justice. God is truly just. Truly just. You're safe in God's justice if you're following him. If you're committed to him. At dawn I bring my plea expectantly before you, O God, delight not in wickedness. No evil man remains with you. The arrogant may not stand in your sight. You hate all evildoers. You destroy all who speak falsehood. The bloodthirsty and the deceitful the Lord abhors. But I, because of your abundant mercy, will enter your house. We too have sinned. It's not just the person out there or over there. We have sinned. But if we return to the Lord will bless, the Lord will heal, the Lord will forgive, the Lord will restore. There's always hope. As long as there's life, there's hope. As long as you can take a breath, there's hope. But after that, the judgment. Don't put off till tomorrow what you should be doing today. I know that's an old axiom, but it's literally true in these circumstances. But I, because of your abundant mercy, will enter your house. I will worship at your holy temple in fear of you, O Lord. And the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. As Jesus got into a boat, his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a violent storm came up on the sea so that the boat was being swamped by waves. But he was asleep. Doesn't that often seem the case when you're going through a very difficult time? Where is God? I've heard people say, is he still asleep in the boat? We can feel like God doesn't care, like God doesn't answer. So they came and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. And he's saying, why are you terrified? Oh, you have little faith. If you're with me, you're following me, you're going to be fine. Even if you go through the storm. Don't reject God. He's the last person you should ever reject or even think of rejecting. He's your Savior. He's the one Savior, and you, whether you know it or not, and whether you're willing to, in humility, to acknowledge it or not, you need salvation. You need to be saved. You cannot save yourself. They came and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. And he said to them, why are you terrified? Oh, you of little faith. And then he got up, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. The men were amazed, and they said, what sort of man is this, whom even the winds and the sea obey? Brothers and sisters, isn't it foolish? At the very least, isn't it foolish to tell the Lord of heaven and earth, our Creator, our Father, our Savior, say, I want to live my own life, I don't need you. Or I'm not even sure if you exist. Only fools believe that you exist. So I'm just going to go my own way and do my own thing. I don't need a crutch of religion. I've heard that. I don't need a crutch of religion. Religion is no crutch. It's cross. We carry the cross. It's a very challenging life, and yet it leads us to eternity with God. It leads us to knowing that we're sons and daughters and not orphans. And it enables us to bring good into the world because we're depending on him who is the source of life, not depending on ourselves. Please, please don't listen to the voices of the world. Listen to what is true. I am the way and the truth and the life. He who believes in me will not perish. He who believes in me will have everlasting life. Do you believe? And does it shape your actions, your decisions, your goals? Does it shape your thoughts? Does it shape your conversation? It needs to. Brothers and sisters, we have around us an incredible crowd of saints, of people who made the right choice. Can you today make that choice? Can you decide to put your entire life, your marriage, everything in your life, are you willing to put it before God? Are you really willing to say, God, my life is not my own, my life belongs to you? May you be given the grace to do so. It is imperative, brothers and sisters. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.